Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Way We Nerd. I'm Danny Villalobos. Next to me is...
Kyle Bound.
Across from him...
Josh Morehead.
Next to him in the KC hat.
Joshua, the Royals are awesome, Potter.
Ah, all right. Okay.
They're not so, right now.
So is Suicide Squad. That's why I'm rocking my Deadshot shirt.
Yeah.
But
I feel the same way about the Royals as I do about Suicide Squad.
Ah, you jerks.
We don't need to talk about Suicide Squad again. We spent an hour and a half on them last week, which I'm glad we did, because that was a good
pod. It was. I have a question for you, though, before we jump into things.
Yeah.
After seeing it a third time, do you feel the same way, or have you noticed more things that you or dislike? Or?
Well, I'll tell you this. Because I acknowledged the problems with it in the beginning.
That's fair.
I just enjoyed the good stuff more, which is the same way I felt about BVS and Man of Steel. Coming soon, I'm going to write a blog where I point out all the good things that these three movies have done, since everybody wants to point out all the bad things. So I'm like, all right, well, let me just give a counterpoint, just point out stuff that they did right. Now, obviously, they could have done better, which another movie we're going to talk about coming up here, Kyle also thinks he can make better, even though he liked it. And he knows which one I'm talking about.
I do.
Good. So look for that coming soon, because I really want to break the DCU movies down, because somebody asked me today if they're still going to make the Batfleck movie. Ben Affleck directed Batman.
I think so.
I think they are too.
That might be their like most lauded.
It probably. I'm still hoping, like, because we know we was it. La- did we discuss this last week? Because I don't know if this was out yet. About about the unnamed employee, Gracie Law is her name, or his name. It could be a man. Just because he used a female fake name doesn't mean it's a woman. Complaining about Wonder Woman, a staff member saying Wonder Woman is a mess. How can this person even know? I mean, we're so far away from that movie being released. Like, what?
I don't doubt it, because like first they could have read a first draft. They could have been on calls about dailies. Like, you know what else was a mess? The initial pilot of Game of Thrones. Just because it was a mess early doesn't mean that...
They can't fix it.
Yeah.
Okay. That's true, but I mean, how much stock can we also take in a disgruntled employee's...
None or all. It's just impossible to tell, but I don't... This person didn't seem... Just me personally, I didn't throw too much doubt on what they're saying, because they seemed impassioned. What I would wonder is where they're actually at in the... process. Because when I was at Paramount, I would like temp for a day on a desk, read 10 scripts that I wouldn't have had read otherwise, and then if somebody asked me like, is the Great Gatsby gonna be any good? I'd be like, no, it's horrible shit! But then two years later, I love that movie. You know, like...
Really?
Did you really read the script?
We should talk about that.
I like Great Gatsby too. I wouldn't say I loved it, but I like it too. We should talk about that. Obviously, Kyle has a strong opinion otherwise. But
I like Baz Luhrmann.
I do too.
I love Baz Luhrmann.
Speaking of which, and this is somewhat of a segue, we can segue out of DC movies because we talk about those too much anyway. Have you anybody seen The Get Down? The new Baz Luhrmann show about the birth of hip hop, which I'm very excited
Ironically,
about.
Like I saw the pilot come up in my Netflix this weekend, and I was like, an hour and a half for a pilot.
Plus, it's like an hour of James Smith at least.
Yeah, and then I was like, I don't have time for that. And I watched three episodes of the night of in a row.
Nice.
Nicely
done.
And I've been wanting to watch that.
But that's the trick
too.
Of like streaming. That's why streaming works, and that's why we're in a binge. Not to go too macro, but that's why we're in a binge watching culture. Because like, if you sit down, you don't want to think about shit. If you don't want to say, what movie do I want to watch right now? Oh, I don't have 2.5 hours for a movie. I'll just watch, you know, an episode of Futurama. And then you fast forward 6 hours and you're like, oh my God, I just watched 2 seasons of Futurama. Because it just takes the thinking out of it for you.
That's what I've been kind of doing with the, you know, a show I like to binge watch is one Kyle and I both watch is Girl Meets World. Like, I have 10 episodes saved on there because I love that show so much that when one ends, I just want to watch another one.
Huh.
So I build them up rather than watching them. Although I should watch them on time because Kyle told me something that happened.
You know what shows like
in
that?
The show, Lucas made a decision.
Are you still not caught up?
No, I haven't watched any this season.
Oh, my God.
Zero
damn.
This season.
Big shit's like that, going down on Girl Meets World.
I know. I heard somebody got married, too.
Mm-hmm.
Go what?
No, it doesn't matter anyway.
No.
You know what shows like that for me?
What's that?
Porn!
I can only watch about 5 minutes of porn.
Yeah,
that's
but
all
then
about,
you just want to start
that's
the
all
next
I
one.
Need. I was like, bro, I need some time to reload.
Dear.
Future listeners, whatever. I don't mean that.
Yes, he does.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does.
Yeah.
Yes.
Just in case
does.
I do anything someday,
if
like, hey,
if any man
that guy loves porn.
If any man tells you he doesn't watch porn, he's lying.
Or he's blind.
Or he's blind. But he could listen to porn.
Yeah, but that's different than watching.
There was a
anyway.
He's a blier.
No, no. Let me. I just wanted to finish off with one hilarious joke from a comedian, the late Richard Jenny, who was friggin' hilarious. He had a joke where he talked about. He's like, this is a proven fact. 90% of men masturbate. The other 10%, no arms. 60% of women masturbate.
Couches either.
60% of women masturbate. 40% want you to believe it takes that long to take a fucking bath. I miss you, Richard Jenny. Anyway, so we're moving on to...
How did 10% of the population lose their arms?
No, 10% of men. No, that's what he was saying.
Right.
He was just saying...
That's a lot of men without arms.
That's the joke. 90% of men masturbate, the other 10% no arms, because if they had arms, they're obviously going to masturbate.
Right, but it's only like less than a percent.
Welcome to The Way We Jerk.
Of...
Okay, let's not overanalyze a joke by a comedian from the 90s.
No, less. It's funnier that way, right, guys?
I'd rather go back, circle back to the Baz Luhrmann thing, because I want to hear what Kyle has to say about Great Gatsby a little bit.
Oh, I just... It's not even that strong of an opinion, so I apologize for all the build-up.
Oh. I thought you and Josh were finally going to argue about something.
No, I like every aspect of that movie. I just don't feel like they all work together as one movie.
What did you think about...
Yeah, I agree.
What did you think about... And I love this aspect.
No, Josh, you're supposed to argue with me.
No.
Remember? Like we planned.
What did you think about the fact that hip-hop was actually part of, like, in story? Like, they played them at the parties and people were dancing to the hip... I mean, maybe, obviously... It was
fine. It just felt out of place in that movie and that story and too much of a focus.
Interesting. I actually like that part of it.
I liked the music and I liked all of that. It just felt like it was like at least two different movies going on there. It's the same thing I feel about Bridesmaids.
Oh. So you're not as big of a fan of Bridesmaids either?
I love Bridesmaids.
You weren't good with Bridesmaids' use of hip hop?
No, Bridesmaids just felt like there were three different movies there. I liked all three of those movies. It just felt a little disjointed at times.
Still the best team up between Feig and McCarthy, though. Bridesmaids. Anyway. Moving on to something we all saw this weekend. Pete's Dragon. Which is funny, because we ended up... Not that we didn't... I mean, all of us were invited, but I didn't notice until after the movie that all four of us... Because we were with a big group. But all four of us were present.
It wasn't like a Way We Nerd excursion.
Yeah, because usually when we go to a movie, it's the four of us, maybe one of the girlfriends, but very rarely. It's usually just the four of us.
Yeah.
And the fact that we had a big group there, and and we all got to see Pete's Dragon. We got to see our good friend Jared Krzyzewski.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Husband to the amazing Wonder Woman that is Jackie Ryan, who works here at Pretty Little Liars. He designed Elliot. Based it on their dog Rocky, the posture and the face is all Rocky, and I can imagine them getting a little teary eyed watching, because I mean they did such a great job with Elliot. He was Elliot's the dragon,
man.
By the way. Elliot is Pete's dragon.
Elliot's Bryce Dallas Howard.
Yes, Elliot is played by Bryce Dallas Howard. Actually, I wonder who did Elliot's grunts and voices. I wonder if there was anybody that. That was like the way like
know.
Vin Diesel did Iron Giant, although he wasn't famous at that time. I thought the movie was wonderful. It felt like, you know, early Steven Spielberg directing a Disney movie. It might have been too easy and too nicely wrapped of a present and a bow at the end. You know, might have been, but the aspects of the movie that were good really worked well. Like Elliot, the kid was great. I don't know what the kid's name is. Pete, but I don't know what his real name is.
Yeah.
He was really good.
No, he was fantastic.
Robert Redford is magic now. Like, there's something about him telling the stories. Like, he's so old now.
He's a national treasure.
And
he's still
a handsome man, as haggard as he is.
You know what
absolutely.
He's perfect for now? I'm going to botch this word, but I love it. He lends verisimilitude.
Close enough.
What is it?
I don't know. That's why I'm saying close
okay.
enough.
Nobody
wants
that
to
might actually
that
be
word.
It. But he,
I think that is
that's
the way,
a,
that's
that's
say,
a much
yeah,
longer
sure.
way of saying the credibility.
When he says the words, I believe him.
Yes, yes.
Like when it's in Winter Soldier, you go, yeah, this is a real movie about real things. And
yeah.
Same thing in Pete's Dragon.
Yeah. Yeah, very true. That's a good call. Yeah, he brings something to it that takes you out of the fantasy of it and makes it something that could happen in our real life.
Thank God he doesn't use that power for evil. Like, if he cut a Trump commercial, my brain would be like,
oh my
maybe,
God. Wait, what is
maybe?
Redford?
I'm like, no, it's just.
No!
Well, yeah, that would be
if
scary.
He was up there talking to a chair for an hour.
Yeah, you might listen. That chair is kind of a dick.
although to be fair, I think we all thought Clint Eastwood was pretty cool until that fucking chair moment. So maybe Redford would lose his coolness.
Yeah,
if he went up there and did that, because wow.
Regardless, he was great in the movie.
He was great.
Yes,
in the movie.
He was.
Sorry,
yes.
Let's not get political around here. But
yeah, it's my fault for taking.
No, it's okay. It's trust me, Josh. It's fresh on my mind, and I'm thinking constantly about how afraid I am of a Donald Trump America. But anyway, so Kyle came out of the movie, and I think, Josh, you said the same thing, Moorhead. You guys came out enjoying the movie, but you also had ideas on how you can make it better. By the way, spoilers. So if you're going to see Peach Dragon, you don't want to be spoiled, even though the story's pretty vanilla.
Yeah, you really can't spoil that movie.
Yeah, it's pretty vanilla, and it's pretty obvious where the movie's going. But just in case, turn us off for about the next 10 minutes. So, Kyle, Josh, whoever wants to go first. What did you like about it, and how would you make it better?
Go for it, because I know what I'm going to say.
I just have my worst metaphor of all time.
Oh, yes. Analogy by Moorhead, coming up.
So, like, sometimes...
You're so red right now.
Yeah,
I can't
sometimes,
wait
like,
say.
If you're going to get laid, you
oh,
know?
There we go. I knew it was going to be sad.
You just want to be, like...
Hi, dragon.
Ravaged. You know, you just want to be, like, a throwdown.
Okay.
You're ready to just be like
get the
all
shit fuck out of you.
Yeah. And then like sometimes like that's what I was waiting for from that movie. I wanted to leave just like spent.
You want some hard
and
fucking.
Emotionally raw. And it was just fine.
You didn't
get missionary.
You didn't get teary eyed in some of the moments there?
You know, it was just like I can't say it wasn't sex. It was.
By the way, we are talking about a kids' movie right now.
That's what I'm saying. That's the weirdest thing. But I mean, it did.
Obviously,
what
you're talking about with the worst.
It did what it was supposed to do logistically.
Yeah.
I was moved.
Like a baby could be made from this movie,
right? But it wasn't like the you know, remember it forever.
Well, my question is, and this is the only problem I had.
I'm so sorry.
It was a Tuesday night. The kids had gone to bed.
Right.
You didn't even take your socks off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Take your socks off when you're making whoopee or whatever you call it. Sorry, Mallrats callback right there.
That's hilarious.
All right.
But that's what I was braced for. Honestly, this is where, to go back to our broader debate about critics on what they can do or can't do.
Yeah.
I had medium expectations. I will see that movie and it will be pleasant, which is what I should have stuck in. And then I saw too many reviews that were like, get ready to have your heart blown out through your nose and cry for a week. And, like, yeah. I was just like, oh, my God, this is going to be so moving and, like, so inspiring and, like, just what I need in this moment because it's kind of shitty out there. It's a cynical world at the moment.
Yeah.
And it didn't take me all the way over that hump. It wasn't E.T., and it wasn't fair of me to think that it would be E.T. because only E.T. is E.T.
But you enjoyed it more than the BFG, probably.
Oh, yeah. BFG is a big fucking mess. Yeah.
That's
G
Ness
for
mess.
Mess
doesn't start with a G.
G for mess. That's how big of a mess it is. Can't even spell itself right. Yeah, big fucking garbage. But I have those feelings for, I think, most of the reasons that Kyle is about to outline.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it just really felt like they should have turned way more into that, the E.T., the Amblin of it all.
Yeah.
Which
they had for the first half.
Kind of. I mean, it's very, very quickly multiple adults see the dragon. Everybody knows there's a dragon. Hey, look, it's a dragon. Everybody's on board with the fucking dragon.
Yeah.
Whereas I would have liked it a lot better if it was like the kid, the daughter sees the dragon.
Right.
Oh, shit, there's a dragon.
But that's
We know Robert Redford believes in the dragon. You know, so it's these two kids, Robert Redford, and Carl Urban sees the dragon and almost gets killed by it, maybe. And so he's got his posse with him going out to hunt the dragon. And the kids and the old man have to save the dragon. And the mom's like, oh, my God, we have to save the kids. Not worrying about the dragon. Of course there's no fucking dragon.
She's the
doubting
Thomas.
Yes. And then when you get to the scene at the bridge, that is sort of the point where she should have been like, oh, fuck, there's a dragon.
Yeah.
And then she's on board, you know. But you want that, like...
Nobody gets...
You want that Robert Redford and the kids moment when they're, you know, when they bust out of the barn.
Yeah.
Like, you want that for, like, half the movie.
Right. There is, yeah, it takes away kind of a further pronouncement of wonder,
yeah.
Which I guess is what wonder is like one of my favorite things about a movie.
Yeah, the dragon feels, the more people see the dragon, the more normal it feels.
Plus, they also, yeah, and they didn't need Urban's friends to see them. Like, he could have gotten attacked out in the woods,
yeah.
And then the thing came after him invisible.
There's something out there, and it's huge, and we have to kill it. He doesn't even have to say, it's a fucking dragon, I'm going to make so much money.
When I was watching it, like, I already formed the thesis in my brain of, like, oh, this is, like, going to be, like, our Rocketeer or Hook in the sense that, like, in 10 or 15 years there will be teenagers or young adults that are like, I love Pete's Dragon so much, I can watch it every day, and we'll be like, what are you talking about? It was okay. And they're like, no, it's magic, because, like, it's a different thing to be 31 in that movie and be comping it the whole time,
mm-hmm.
and running it through the ringer of what inspires you versus, like, the kid in front of me that I think was just
blasted
to the wall.
Yeah, there was a lot of kids there for a 10-20 showing.
It's Hollywood.
What about you, Potter?
Personally, I really liked it a lot. I didn't spend a lot of time thinking about how I can make it better. I can see your guys' points on that. I got wrapped up in it, honestly, and I got choked up more than 5 times. No tears, but it was one of those.
Yeah,
things
my eyes
just
got glassy a couple
times. Yeah, it hit me.
I wasted a lot of time, and I could have just said what you just said is I got choked up more than several times, but I never bawled, which is what
I wanted
to get to.
Yeah. So no, it's been a while. Again, where Ghostbusters made me laugh the whole way through, and it's been a while since I've had that kind of emotional reaction to
Popstar.
A movie.
Popstar. Yeah.
See, and I didn't see Popstar. Popstar, I would have laughed all the way through.
God.
I will see
Popstar's
it.
So
but on the flip side of it, Pete's Dragon had the same reaction, but with a different emotion, which was great.
That's good.
So yeah, I think as far as movies that you could see this summer, Pete's Dragon for me is right up there with Ghostbusters in terms of an emotional response, a fun movie to see for all ages. Ghostbusters maybe not so, but Pete's Dragon is a great family movie.
It does
what it's supposed to do.
It might have like the most like thoroughbred, like undebatable quality of any movie of the summer.
Yeah, I
definitely look forward to more movies by this director, especially after what Jared said about him. Like he said, this guy's got something special.
Yeah.
Like other movies I enjoyed more. But I would grant their flaws or, like, where they did more of this or could have did less of that. Like, even though we just had that discussion, like, that movie of a piece did everything.
There was nothing wrong with the movie.
Right.
No.
Yeah.
You know, like, the movie, I feel like, did exactly what it set out to do. There's no gaping plot holes. There's no problems with it.
It was a good movie that could have been great.
Yeah, there's just things that I would have liked to have seen it do.
Right,
and
right.
I don't disagree with your
Which
point
is,
on.
Yeah, it's not like that's not the movie's fault. That's on me.
It was like totally like, and I think it's because an indie director who I liked and I would follow any of his work, but like
it was
the indie version.
He
did All Them Body Saints, which I have not seen. But I'm just saying, like, based from this movie and based what seems like his sensibility and just the indie sensibility overall.
How much does the movie cost? Keep
going. Like it was a more muted. Like, E.T.'s E.T. because that guy was already making blockbusters. Mm. This is, like, a more muted version. It's the acoustic version.
That's a good analogy.
Yeah.
Like, it's... Which is fine. That's what... And I should... We should harp on the fact that the dragon Elliot was... I know we did, but I just want to say it, too. It was incredible.
Yes,
I can't
dragon as dog was just a perfect way to do it.
And I love how clumsy he was. Like, when he landed, like, that was really...
Well,
he was
Elliot
was adorable.
Dog.
Elliot was really adorable.
But
scary when he needed to be.
Yes,
right.
And more than that, you felt he was a character. There was a whole range of emotions and emotional responses just for Elliot.
And he never
speaks,
really.
No, exactly. And I love a movie like that because movies are a visual medium, first and foremost. I like to see and not be told when I'm going to a movie. So seeing Elliot's responses versus being told, oh, he's angry or he's sad, That was great, and that's a credit to both Jared's design work and to the animators for bringing those designs to life.
Yeah, because I kept thinking to myself, like, because you know how now, like, I'll give a good example. I watched Star Trek First Contact a few days ago.
I almost watched that this weekend, actually.
I love that movie.
I watched it just recently.
It's just a great movie on its own, just a great Star Trek movie. But there's a scene where, and you guys might remember this, when Data jumps from the top of the missile silo to the ground. And he's falling, and Alfred Woodard is shooting at him as he's falling down. Now, when I first saw that movie, I thought that was an amazing special effect.
Yeah.
Watching it now, it looks terrible. The rest of the movie looks gorgeous. On Blu-ray, that movie is gorgeous.
Yeah.
But Blu-ray also exposes the flaws in some of these special effects.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, the reason I mentioned that is because I can't see a future where Elliot doesn't look fantastic on screen.
Yeah, there is only like one shot maybe where the whole movie, and it wasn't even Elliot, it was the backdrop he was on where it looked at all thick to me. Or I was like, well, I wasn't like, oh, the dragon's rendered. I was like, oh, that sky and forest is rendered or whatever. Yeah. That was only like one shot.
Yeah, he looked his fur when he's in the water. I mean, when he's wet. I mean, everything looked so real and like, so, was it tactile? Is that the word for it?
Yeah.
It was just, it felt real. It felt the way like Jurassic Park did when we first saw it in 1993.
That effect.
You know, and I'm glad we got a little bit here. I mean, unfortunately, we're in more of a CG world, and thank God for J.J. Abrams who has proved that you can still make a practical special effects movie and make it wondrous. So, and from what I understand, a lot of people took that example, and like, I heard Blade Runner would be very, very practical.
I hope so.
I hope so, too.
The
reason
that movie still works is the model work.
And that movie still looks excellent. I watched that recently, too. That movie still looks excellent as well.
Yeah.
But anyway, so yeah, but we didn't even say this. I don't know how many people out there know this, but Pete's Dragon is a remake of a 1977 movie, a movie just as old as I am. What I liked about this one is they didn't at all feel any need to fan service. Well, number one, Pete's Dragon it's not as a beloved classic as Ghostbusters.
No.
But I'm sure there's people out there who I enjoyed it. Like, when I was a kid, it was in regular rotation.
Sure.
But that movie was definitely something that story couldn't be done now.
No.
I read about it a little bit on BuzzFeed, and it was like the kid was a slave or something.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. The kid was an orphan who got adopted by these evil criminal people, and they used him basically as slave labor. Yeah. And the only friend he had was an imaginary, or what they thought was an imaginary friend, named Elliot, who was a dragon. And Elliot can go invisible, just like this Elliot did. And the thing is they did one callback to him, like the klutziness. That was Elliot in the cartoon. Cool. So there was a few little callbacks to the original, but the story is completely different. Completely different. And the only one nitpick I had for it was, and this is very small, how the hell did that kid get such a great vocabulary when he was like four and he barely had one? Like, when he first gets lost, like, his parents, you know, in the car accident that happens, like, he has such a command of the English language, and he's been away from people for so long. And, I mean, I guess he keeps practicing by talking to Elliot, but, like, he sounds like a 10-year-old, 11-year-old, or however he is. Well, he got lost as a 4-year-old.
I guess it's because it's the Disney PG or G version rather than PG-13. Like, if it's the PG-13 version of that movie, you find the kid and he is more trouble with society. And I had the opposite problem where, like, the things they picked, and this is like getting picky.
Yeah, like I said, this is really a small nitpick.
But like the things they picked for him not to relate to, I was like, of course he knows what that is. Like, when he wakes up and there's a balloon, he's like, what the fuck is that?
I thought that was hilarious.
If there's one thing a kid knows, it's fucking balloons.
Especially when he's four. Yeah,
we're like, a kid would know what a balloon is.
That's a good call. I didn't even think about
that. I did have that same thought, absolutely. Yeah. While watching the movie, I'm like,
right.
Why is he talking about what that is? I did too. I was like, why is he freaking out with a balloon? and also, you know what? That kind of made me think of something else. When she shows him the record player. I love how timeless this seems, because you can't.
I think it actually is set sometime in the late 70s, early 80s. Because
nobody has a cell phone.
They just don't say it out loud.
Yeah.
Because at first.
But some of the cars are very, very.
The cars are all old.
Yeah.
The technology is all old. And everybody's clothes. That was the biggest gift.
Yeah.
It was all in costumes.
Yeah.
That everybody's dressed like it's 78 to 83. No. It's just
great.
It's just there. It's just not overtly set.
Yeah.
Because
it doesn't need
like
to
most
be.
Things, that movie would have been, and I think the conscious choices, much like Stranger Things, there's just, it's harder to tell a magical story in our world because of cell phones and the internet. It's harder to tell a horror story because of cell phones and the internet.
I agree with you.
We stumble it all the time, like on PLL. Like, well, why wouldn't we? Like, you have to find ways for your characters to be cut off from all the modes of communication we have.
It's hard to do. The only thing I can think is if you did base it is, I mean, there are cities out there that seem like they're stuck in, or little towns that seem like they're stuck in time.
Well, which like is why this is like a. Well, that's why this is a logging community.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly.
You know, so it's a thing that doesn't really have.
Yeah, it's not Silicon Valley.
It's not, exactly.
Yeah, exactly. You take it.
You don't have 80s Steve Jobs.
Try to do it in the Redwood Forest up there in San Francisco or whatever. It wouldn't work as much.
Yeah,
because there's no way a kid would be lost out there. And well, I don't know. Maybe they will. I don't know. Anyway, so
this probably took place in Canada.
Looks Canadian.
Canada. I'm pretty sure.
It's either like Montana Washington. In the 80s or Canada now.
Really, I got. I got a joking. Washington.
I was totally joking.
That's what I got.
I just wanted to make the joke.
Sorry.
That Canada is our past.
Can we also talk about, did you guys catch the best cast credit on the cast list as the credits scrolled?
No.
Unfortunate ambulance patient was a character name.
Oh, that one.
And it's the person that gets dropped on the stretcher.
Yeah, when they see the dragon.
Yeah.
I think that's the exact thing the movie needed a little more of.
Yeah, I mean that was funny. Just
goof,
a little more
little goof
goofy,
moments.
A little more.
Yeah, yeah. Just that means more people seeing the dragon though.
Not literally that, but just a little more, humor.
A little more activity. Like it was a very like gentle movie.
Yeah, it was.
Very relaxed.
It was
which is not
it was,
inherently bad. It's just like 10:20 on a Friday. It's not, you know.
Yeah, well, it's 100% a family entertainment movie. Like,
absolutely.
It's not that it's geared only towards kids, but it's safe.
Yes.
It's safe. There's nothing in that movie a million moms or 100 moms or whatever that thing is called can complain about. So.
But they will.
Oh, they'll find something.
But they will.
But Elliot's gay.
Yeah, all those little Elliots that came with him—they were just his family that accepted him as the gay dragon.
Well, that's what I was gonna say. Like that, I will give it credit for being the most deft at like sequel setting up of like anything that's happened in a long time.
Yeah.
Where Robert Redford is like,
I'm just waiting for Pete's dragons.
Exactly, because Robert Redford is like. Now, you might think the story is over, but if this makes enough money, it won't be. And, here's a shot of a bunch of dragons flying, just so you know. You can see more of this if you wanted to.
If you so choose.
Unfortunately, once again, the remake sequelitis this summer has hit Peach Dragon because it was big as it hit it because it could have been. However, it might have legs.
Yeah, but it made the money. Made the money. I mean this in a business sense, like it should have made.
I agree.
It cost that much
but
to
they
make.
Wanted a little
and
bit
you
more.
And you can, yeah. They
I mean, they were expecting
they
a little more.
They would have taken a little bit more.
I mean, I think they were expecting a little more. I don't think they thought Sausage Party would. I think they thought they were going to be number two.
Right.
Behind
Suicide
Squad.
Agreed.
Now, Sausage Party is a movie none of us have seen yet, which we all do want to see, although this news I've been hearing about the animators kind of getting, some of the animators getting shafted on money and credits. And then the director going on and bragging about how much money they saved.
I don't think that, maybe this is just me trying to be optimistic, like I always try to be, but like I don't think the director is new either. That sounds like such a thing to me. Of like, even in production, when you're all working towards the same end in the same building, you don't know how somebody's getting shafted in another department or something. So I think
the directors would though, because I'm sure they were there heavy during the animation process.
I don't think they're actually sitting in a cubicle like at the computer.
No, but
the
I mean,
animators. I'm saying they probably were not aware of. Like, think about it. Dude.
Well, I don't think like I don't think Seth Rogen was aware. I don't think the was and I can never say Annapurna is the production.
There's
company,
more
Richard Linklater's
There's
company.
Definitely more
well,
like
the production
that
company's
going to
know
would,
more than the director is. Like the director's not approving somebody's budget or who's going to.
And that's the story. And that's what ended up happening is Annapurna. Put up the money once they found out what was going on, but by that time it was already too late. Like half the people had already been fired or walked, so they didn't reap the benefits of finally getting overtime and stuff. But that's the shitty side of this industry is that,
and apparently
it never stops. It's like until they tell you're at the nobody's got to tell Seth Rogen like, well, this should mean something to you, so just walk. Except maybe on Steve Jobs, but like, in any position almost. It's, you're told you're living the dream, and that's your payment.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I still want to see the
movie. No, I still want to see the movie. Trust me, I still want to see it. I heard it's very, very funny, so, and it's doing really well.
Ironically, much like an actual hot dog, you just want to eat the thing and not hear what's in it or how it was made.
Very true. As soon as people find out what's in a hot dog, but I still want to eat it for some reason. Yeah. I still eat them.
I'm in.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we're still going to go see that movie, hopefully. So, moving on to the next subject. Help me out here, people.
Well,
I know what we want to get to.
It was kind of a slow week.
It was kind of a slow week, and I know what we want to get to, but there's an escape pod coming, so we'll get to that. Don't worry. We'll get to that. There's lots of Star Wars news to talk about, but we're going to get to that. So this might be a shorter, normal Way We Nerd pod, but we're going to have an extra long escape pod. So,
about Bourne. We both saw Bourne.
Well, we did, Potter and I both saw Bourne, and it's one of those things, like, I haven't seen the Bourne Legacy, so I don't know if that's the same thing. But I like the Bourne movies, but I don't own the third one, which is supposedly the best one. And I do like it, but for some reason, Jason Bourne's not... Like, I didn't even watch the three before I went into this one, because it's just not one of those series that, like... nothing's really changed. It's all the same...
I've only seen the first one.
And it's the best one.
It is the best one.
In my opinion.
I watched all three of those. I didn't rewatch Legacy leading up to Jason Bourne.
Although I heard there were some Easter eggs from Legacy in this movie.
There are a few, apparently. I mean, but it was nothing that if you haven't rewatched it or you aren't familiar enough with it, you don't get the nod. There's still some things that are cool. My problem is the loose little bit of plot point that they use to get him going in the movie, to get the whole plot going for that matter. And it's all based on this thing happened. It's probably Jason Bourne's fault, so let's blame him and go after him. God. So it's a very tired plot device. Mm-hmm. And if they're smart, if they do a sequel, which I would be interested in seeing. I don't know if I would rush to see it. But I think it's done now, and it needs to be realistically. But the only way I could see a sequel working or another one working would be for him to uncover some dirty secret or something, and then have the government hire him because they need his help instead of chasing him.
Yeah.
But then he's also working against them at the same time. I don't know. Well, that could be kind of fun and spy thriller-ish. But it's basically taken the spy thriller out of it.
Well, that's the thing is because the whole thing about Bourne is he's starting to piece together his past from the first movie up to this newest one. Like even the newest one, the third one, they made it seem like okay, Bourne's story's done. He's found.
You may remember, but you don't know everything.
Yeah, and then when it gets to this one, there's a plot involving spoilers. There's a plot involving his dad, and his dad was the creator of Treadstone, which is the company that made Jason. But then when he found out that Jason Bourne or his son was going to become one, he was going to blow the whistle on him, and then he gets blown up, and it's just. And that's what sets exactly. So the plots of these movies are not getting any better or changing at all. However, it's still fun to watch Matt Damon kick ass and outsmart people.
Yes,
I like the way the movie ended. I thought Alicia Vikander was very fun to watch.
Yes,
even though she went in and out of her accent, which is weird because I thought she was doing her own accent. But apparently she wasn't.
That's hilarious.
Although she is American, but she sounds like she has an accent working for the American government. That's okay. That's not that doesn't happen. And Tommy Lee Jones was, whatever. Like it was just like he was fun to have him there, but you could put anybody in that role.
Yeah.
But it's just fun to watch Jason Bourne kick people's asses. And I had a good time, but it's one of those things that like if I ever watch this series again, it'll probably be like 10 years down the road.
Yeah.
Even though I'll probably buy them, because you guys know me, I'm a big franchise whore. Like, I buy all the bad movies in franchises. I own Batman and Robin. I own Superman 4. Like, I always... Although, I still say this. Even though I like Men in Black 3, I still won't buy Men in Black 2. But I don't own Men in Black 3 either. But anyway, regardless, this summer has been very bad on sequels and reboots, at least in the second weeks. Or although apparently Bourne didn't lose that much from his second to third week, but that really doesn't matter.
Yeah, but
anymore.
It didn't make that much in its first week.
Well, I mean,
I have no idea what it did.
60-something million.
Yeah, that's horrible.
Well, for Bourne, it's fine. But anyway,
Speaking of, actually,
Josh.
Yeah.
I know you read the article, and I didn't. So why aren't they making Men in Black?
Yeah, what happened to that?
21 Jump Street.
For a good reason, actually, that I would like to hear more of this in the industry. Basically, Jonah Hill was saying the whole point of the Jump Street series.
Especially the sequel.
Especially the sequel is to lampoon the idea of sequelitis.
And remakes.
And yeah. Remakes and, like, this franchise culture and da-da-da-da-da. Mm-hmm. And he was like, there's no honest way to then make a Men in Black movie of that. Because the studio won't let you do it as pure parody or a mockery. They're doing it as a franchise reboot, which is exactly what we're making fun of. So at some point, it just doesn't make sense.
Wait a minute. Take a step back here. You're telling me that their plan was to make a crossover between the two movies but not have Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones in it?
Well, yeah, that was the whole plan.
Oh, fuck
all
that.
Along.
Yeah. I didn't know that was the plan.
It was two birds, one stone. It was, let's keep this successful franchise going that we don't know what to do with and relaunch this other franchise by retconning the one franchise into the other.
Yeah.
And that's Jonah Hill's point is like,
I hope they kill that. Yeah.
Men in Black is funny. The tone's funny, but
but
its conceit is serious.
Yeah.
Like, you have to buy it.
The people within it are earnest.
Yeah, if you put Jonah Hill and Channing Tatum taking orders from Rip Torn, it suddenly doesn't make sense anymore.
It doesn't work. I didn't know that was the idea.
So that's why I was never, like, super on board with it anyway, except just being a cockamamie thing that you...
Well, because I thought
just crazy enough to work.
Well, this is the thing. I thought if it was the idea that you said they're not doing, where it was a parody of, because they already made fun of remakes with the first one, reboots with the first one. They made fun of sequels with the second one. Right. Now you make fun of this shared universe thing that's very huge out there. And I thought that was a great idea if you parody that. But if it's what you're just saying, fuck that. I'm glad they didn't do it. Yeah, yeah.
Right.
Throw that idea right out the window.
So I'm glad, but I'm glad somebody in this business has, like, I won't even call it integrity because there's not, like, I won't call saving Men in Black integrity, but, like, just as the intellectual honesty to be like, no,
this is shit.
It's a bad idea.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense either way you cut it.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, yeah. I'm in total agreement with you there. Yeah. I hope that movie never happens, that version of it. Now, if you were to make another funny ass movie like the first two Jump Streets and include the Men in Black characters, especially Will Smith and whether it be Brolin or Jones, I'd be down with that. But that's just because I like spending time with those characters.
I love the Men in Black movies.
I don't like the second one, but I do love 1 and 3. But I haven't seen the second one since I saw it in the theater. But that's
not
one of
that great.
That's one of the first. That's one of the. Actually, that's one of the only movies I've ever actually said out loud in the theater. That movie fucking sucked. Like, I remember saying that in the theater, and I said it super fucking loud. And I don't like when people say stuff like that because I'm like, I don't care about your damn opinion. But
it really didn't make
it just make
much it, of a sense.
It gave me such an emotional response because the first one was so
it
good.
Had one or two nice moments, but overall,
yes. And the third one was actually
Michael Jackson was in it. The third one's awesome.
The third one's a lot of fun.
I love the third one a lot. Yeah,
but do you think
I haven't seen the third one?
I think they'll still
it's really cool.
I think they'll still make a Men in Black sequel though. I think there'll be another one because that one made a lot of money.
There'll be another Men in Black, but it won't be
a 21 Jump Street Men in Black, which is fine.
Or like, I mean, like it'll be in 5 years, and it'll be a complete rebooting.
Oh, so no Will Smith?
No.
All right.
No, I don't think he'll do it.
He's moved on.
Yeah, I think, in fact, he's already said he wouldn't do it.
He's got that Suicide Squad sequel to do, that's why.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God. I mean, yay!
Which, hopefully, for some of us, is a better movie. Well, I think even you would want
I think for every...
Well, I didn't say, like I said, I acknowledge the problems, and I definitely, I want to see David Ayer's real version, not the one he's saying, not the one he's saying that is his version.
We argued it this weekend a little bit on, it wasn't even really an argument, but we've definitely argued it on the pod before, like, they either have to make these movies better or smaller, and I would prefer to see these movies better.
No, we talked about it through the text messages the other day.
I know, but I said we've said it on the pod before, too.
No, we have, yeah.
Because because it's sad, because there's movies that can and should be small, but fucking Superman and Flash and shit, like, should not be, those should be fun blockbuster movies. So just should. Fucking make them better. Like, that's, yeah. You're leaving money on the table by just not making a better movie. Yeah. And it's not like you're making a worse movie by cutting the budget or da da da. It's just storytelling.
And I
just get it
just
right.
Tell a better story.
Yeah. I still maintain that they would have released BVS's extended cut as the original theatrical release. It would have been more well received. I'm not saying it would have been like 70% on Rotten Tomatoes and it would have made $2 billion, but I think it would have got to the billion mark, and I think that more critics would have liked it. But it was just because the things they took out of it made the movie fall apart. Even though some of the glaring problems, like the Martha thing, are still there. But you get more clear. You get a more clear version of Clark. You get more clear version of Lex Luthor, because Josh said something great last week, or maybe it was Kyle. One of you two said that you would love to see. You want the movie to be successful, so just so you could see a scene between Lex Luthor and Jared Leto's Joker.
Yeah,
because they would. Yes, they would. That would be. I think Kyle did the analogy about the scene chewery that would be happening in that fucking in that scene. I want to see that, and I don't. It's obviously not going to happen in Justice League Part 1, but I would love to see it in Justice League Part 2 if they do make a sequel. So, hopefully, the Justice League is as fun as those few scenes that they gave us recently. Even though those scenes, some of those scenes still had kind of the problems that BVS has and the DC Universe has in general. But I really think, like I was saying, I really think Geoff Johns has taken over. Whereas before he was there in a limited capacity because Charles Roven was the king,
right?
And they took Charles Roven down a little bit, and I think they made Geoff Johns, hey, come in here and make this more fun.
I just want them to make an inarguably, unquestionably, undeniably good DC movie,
right?
Wonder Woman's trailer looks like it could be it, but we don't know yet. It's still a trailer.
You have no idea whatsoever. So, I won't believe they'll do it until they do.
Well, let me tell you this. Okay. Let me ask you this. Are there any, because all four of us seemed to be excited about the Wonder Woman trailer. Did any of you feel that way about any of the trailers we got from the previous three?
Yeah, totally.
Okay.
The second trailer for Suicide Squad.
The one with the music video.
Yeah.
Or the Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, oh, maybe they're onto something here. Honestly, none of the trailers for BVS moved me to the degree that, like, I got excited, but, you know.
But
it wasn't like watching, like, I remember watching the Dark Knight trailer over and over, and even the Man of Steel trailer I watched over and over and over again, because it was just, it in and of itself was like an inspiring work of art, probably more so than the movie.
Yeah.
But regardless.
Although at this point, I think Man of Steel is the best out of the three.
Which is a bad place to be in right now.
Yeah. Yes, yeah.
And well, especially because the best part of Man of Steel is the part that really isn't a Superman movie.
Right. It's the Terrence Malick Americana.
Opening 20 minutes.
Yeah.
It's this stuff on Krypton. Yeah. You give me a 90-minute movie about what the hell's going on in Krypton.
Well, hopefully that's what the Krypton show is like, if it's something like
that
first
we'll
20
see.
Minutes.
I don't know. But, maybe a little too much earth in that.
Maybe. All right. Well, you know what? We're going to cut this the way we near short a little bit just so we can get to the escape pod, because we got a lot of Star Wars stuff to talk about. So I'm going to sign off right now, unless anybody has anything else to add to this. Is there anything at all?
I just caught up on The Flash.
Yay, finally. I didn't even know you were watching it.
Yeah. I've been watching The Flash.
Really?
Why don't
we want to talk about it?
Because I fell behind by like 8 episodes.
Potter, you watch Flash, right?
Oh, obviously. Yeah. I'm all caught up.
Josh, yeah, I'm just now caught
not,
up.
Right?
No. Hey, Kyle?
Yes.
Katie says check your phone.
Oh, it's overcharging. Okay. Tell him I'll check it in a minute. When we switch to the
escape pod,
I'll check it.
Oh, Jesus. Anyway.
It's hilarious.
I'm just kidding. Anyway. Yeah, so we'll just, I'm still not caught up on The Flash. We're in right now, but I'm only 2 episodes behind. Like, I have to finish the last 2. I just saw that Kevin Smith directed Reluctant Dinosaur. No, not Reluctant Dinosaur. What was it again?
I don't remember it.
Something Dinosaur. Lost Dinosaur or something. I don't remember what it was. The Runaway Dinosaur. That's what the title of the episode was.
Ah, that's it. Yep.
Yeah.
That was a really good episode. That was a really, really good episode. It's the episode where Barry got his speed back and the scenes he was having with his Speed Force / Mother
were pretty touching.
Yes.
And it's fun because there's a video of Kevin Smith online of him watching The Flash season one finale and bawling like a little girl. And he's so proud of that video that pretty much got him the job on this show. And
is this still part of the goodbye?
No.
No, we put the goodbye. Yes. We tabled the goodbye.
We tabled it.
That just
we
shows how vote. Little you pay attention, Josh. I said before I say goodbye, is there anything else that anybody wanted to talk about? And Kyle brought
and
up
I
the
said
Flash.
I caught up on The Flash.
So, I
but Dan's
Flash.
Not caught up on The Flash, so fuck Dan.
And fuck Josh one more time for fucking whining about the goddamn time.
Man. Well, you know.
We don't have time.
Like I've said many
times.
Talk
about the timeline.
So many times before, Josh, if you don't want to be here, just get up and walk out. And it's all good. You've done it before. Anyway, so let's move on. The Way We Nerd is
such
over.
Salt.
Because, man, I don't... This, never mind. We'll talk about this off pod. All right.
How many times can we prohibit him from India?
Exactly.
Like one more time.
One more time.
One more time.
Least, right?
Yeah. One more time.
Yeah.
One more time.
Yeah, because I have to go check my phone, apparently.
Yes, you exactly. You got to go check your phone. Potter's got to go get another Perrier. Josh has got to get more chips.
Hey, what do you got against Perrier?
And I want to talk
Why
about
Why you got to call me out on that?
Because Perrier sucks. All right. I'm it's Daniel like Villalobos. Across from me.
Joshua Potter.
Next to him. Timekeeper. And then across from him.
Kyle Baum.
Go check your phone. Escape pod coming next. Love you guys.
Thanks for listening. If you want more from the nerds, check us out on the intertubes at thewaywenerd.com. And if you haven't already, you should follow us on Facebook and Twitter at The Way We Nerd, and subscribe to us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. Until next week, this is The Way We Nerd.